history through the eyes of those who lived it. This is Hometown Heroes, proudly honoring the men and women whose service and sacrifice have secured our freedom. Now, the host of Hometown Heroes, Paul Leffler.
Welcome to another edition of Hometown Heroes, the program that reminds you no matter where you live in this great country of ours, no matter how big or how small your hometown might be, there are some stories there just waiting to be told, the kind of stories that'll amaze you, that might just alter your perspective a little. We want to honor our veterans for their service and sacrifice, preserve their stories so we never forget the price that's been paid for our freedom. And as we embark on that journey, boy, do we end up learning a lot. We're educated, we're also entertained, and often inspired by these stories from our greatest generation. And we're going to experience a little different side of it today. So often we hear from World War II veterans on this program, and they remember the men they served with, who they often refer to as the real heroes, the ones who never came home, the more than 406,000 Americans who died while serving in World War II. Today, we're going to learn about two of those men from their families, who are learning more about them three quarters of a century later because of the work of the DPAA, the Defense POW MIA Accounting Agency, which is working to identify and return the remains of those long-lost heroes. On December 7th, this year in Madera, California, Alva J. Cremaine, Jack as his family knew him, will finally be given a proper military burial. Exactly 77 years after the young Marine was killed aboard the battleship USS Oklahoma at Pearl Harbor. You're going to hear from two of his nieces, starting with Donna Morin. And Donna, did you ever hear about your Uncle Jack when you were growing up?
Oh, yes. My grandmother talked about him, and my mother talked about him. She had a little grass skirt that he'd sent from Hawaii that I actually wore as a child, and I was upset when it didn't fit me anymore, but my daughter and my granddaughter have both had it on and played in it.
Boy, what a treasure that is, sent from Pearl Harbor before the attack.
Yes, it was in a package of Christmas gifts that Jack sent to his family, a little set of ivory dominoes and a Navy doll and several things that he sent for his family that arrived after his death.
And, of course, the family had a few different stories told to it by the government over that time, which we'll hear about. But I'm interested in what you've been able to piece together about who he was and what he was doing there at Pearl Harbor.
Well, we don't know why he decided to enlist, but he enlisted shortly after his graduation from high school. He graduated from Rocky Ford High School, and then the next year he enlisted in July of 1940 in Denver, and he was immediately taken to his training in C school. We know he was proud to be a Marine from things we've heard from the family, and he didn't get in any trouble like some of the people did when they were off the ship. He was very good.
And as far as what happened on that Sunday morning, December 7th, 1941, has your family ever received any details of where he was on the ship or what might have happened to him?
No, we don't know. We have heard that it was a day that he was to be able to leave the ship, and that approximately 40 men had lined up on the deck of the ship just prior to the bombing. So he was maybe on the deck waiting to leave the ship.
And you have a family scrapbook here that I guess has been kind of rediscovered in this whole process that gives you some clues as to what your family was going through in the aftermath of Pearl Harbor?
Yes. We found it about a month ago, and my grandmother kept quite a scrapbook of anything to do with World War II. It's full of news clippings. It has the telegrams that my grandparents received about him being missing, and a telegram about they thought at one point that he was a survivor, but later found out he wasn't. My grandmother kept news clippings of other boys in the area as they joined, and just everything, whole papers full of information. So there was quite a bit in that book that we could piece together the puzzle that we didn't know.
What has that taught you? What have you gained from this process?
I think the book that my grandmother kept was probably a healing process, because she'd had a child that was passed away before Jack, that was fresh in their mind. And then losing him was fresh in her mind. And I think she probably didn't talk a lot about it, but this was her healing process to keep her scrapbook. And I'm kind of glad, because now today, even though I wasn't born when he was, you know, involved in Pearl Harbor, it tells me a lot of the history and how proud my grandmother had to be of his service. It meant a lot to her.
Can you explain to us how this came about and how significantly your family's world has changed here in the last few months?
Wow. that's a big one. Elaine's mother was contacted in 2001. She was the only sibling still alive. My mother passed away in 1978. But in 2001, she was asked for a DNA sample, which led to finding the remains of Jack and having them identified. So she wanted to live long enough to be able to find her brother, but she passed away 2 years ago without that knowledge. She talked about it a lot, that she wanted him found. Most of the family members have been to Pearl Harbor and seen the memorials there, and it was just something that she was looking forward to, was finding her brother. Now that we've found him, it's a joy, but it's sad. But it will bring a closure.
The kind of closure long hoped for, but for so many years beyond the family's reach. Elaine Holliday is another niece of Jack Cremaine's, a cousin of Donna's. Let's find out what she knew of this fallen Marine as she grew up.
I felt like I really knew him well because my mother talked of him so much.
What are some of the things she said about him? What was the picture you formed in your mind?
What an upstanding person he was. He was a de Molay, and it was very important to him. He just was a very good person.
And can you help us understand how significant a concern this was to your mother, that someday his remains be identified?
It was everything. It was constantly on her mind, especially as she grew older, that she wanted him identified and brought home, and for her to really know where he was.
And had you known until this scrapbook popped up that the family had been given that false hope of him as being a survivor that was even reported in the newspaper?
Yes, I did. I can't imagine the grief they suffered.
So your mother gave her DNA and passed away not knowing what that was going to lead to. What was it like for you to find out that his remains had been identified?
It was indescribable, you know. I think I cried for her and for Grandma and Grandpa and my Aunt Joan and the whole family.
How'd you find out?
I was notified by phone call from a Marine representative, a Mrs. Hattie Johnson from Virginia.
Is that one of those moments where you're not sure if it's real or not?
Correct. After we hung up and a couple of days later, I just thought, did that really happen?
Well, and there's still more to come.
Well, I always knew how respectful the military was of their own missing, and how important it was to bring them home. What really surprised me was our community's reaction. How important it is to so many people that I don't really know or know just briefly, but it's people that have served in the military or people that have had family members missing. This is just as important to them almost as it is to us. That really surprised me.
When you look at those Christmas gifts over there that he mailed, not knowing he wouldn't be alive anymore on Christmas 1941, what do you see? What comes to mind when you look at those?
How much he loved his family. They were important to him. Growing up, they were all very close.
And that photo there of the young lady with the grass skirt on, that's your mother?
Yes, she was a beautiful lady.
And she told you a few stories about him?
Yes, especially about the family dog. The little dog came home with her father, just a barely alive little puppy, and her mother nursed the little dog back to life. And this little dog was a special dog. It was a little shepherd, I believe, and her name was Lindy. And Lindy was one of the kids. She went everywhere with them. And mother especially told the one time when the little dog hurt her paw, got it cut up, and how she went to her mother, just like the other children, put her head on her lap and gave her her paw to show her where it was hurting.
And you've got a picture of that dog with your Uncle Jack right there. Looks like they had a pretty good bond, too.
Yes. Yes, that little dog was a very important part of the family.
I don't know if this is an easy one to answer, but you never met him, but you heard about him your whole life. How often have you thought about this idea over the years, that maybe your family would finally have some answers or some finality, some closure?
Oh, all the time, because it was constantly something my mother discussed. It's constant.
When you think about her right now, knowing what you know, knowing what your family's going to be doing on December 7th this year, what comes to mind?
How proud she would be. And, of course, my sister and I, my mother was quite a spunky little person, and we figure she's has a hand in all this, helping them arrange things.
Well, do you want to tell me what is going to happen on December 7th?
Yes, there'll be a service for Jack. It'll be at 2 o'clock here in Madera, and it'll be full military honors, and we just feel so proud.
So that'll be 77 years to the day since he was killed.
To the day. It's amazing.
Let me ask you this. Since your mother was so fond of him and this was such a big deal to her, have you ever wondered or did you ever hear her hypothesize what kind of life he would have had if it wasn't cut short at Pearl Harbor?
No, I don't think I did. But we all knew he would have been somebody special doing things. He was a leader.
I'm sure there are some things that I haven't asked you about that are relevant to you when it comes to who he was and the fact that you now know where he is and he can be laid to rest in a proper way. What has this done for you? What have you learned from this, or how has this affected you, this process?
Well, our family's always been close, but I think it's drawn us even closer.
I think the most special thing that we found was two little pictures, and they look like something that maybe they were taken in a photo booth. There are pictures, one of them with my Aunt Ruth and Jack, and one with my mother and Jack, and the date on the back said August 31st, 1941. So that was probably the last pictures or the last time that my aunt and my mother were with their brother. So those are very special. And it just kind of cracked me up, the one with my mother. He had taken his Marine hat off and put it on my mother's head, and she being a five-year-old is got a big smile, and his hair is all messed up. It's all sticking up from taking that hat off. So it's kind of special pictures.
Well, and I guess maybe that underscores that the loss of his life on December 7th, 1941 was not just a loss for him, not just a loss for the Marines or the government, but a real loss to that family if he was that close to his siblings and his folks.
Yes, I think so. It's been a healing process for us also to find these pictures and put things together and kind of, you know, put pieces of the puzzle together on a timeline. It's kind of a healing process, and it's something we're very proud of his service. We're also very proud of our country, how they take care of their veterans, and all the information that's been shared with us is just a little overwhelming.
Yeah, is there anything for you, Donna, that's been eye-opening through this? You have right in front of you here a big binder that the Defense Department and the POW/MIA County Agency sent your way. Is there anything in there that you looked at, you said, wow, this is amazing?
I think that the history of the ship, there's quite a bit of the history, and then also there is each bone that was found, there's a DNA report, and all of the work that has gone into putting this booklet together and all the time that's been spent by many people to identify those remains. It's been years in the process to try and find all of these people. And when we've read accounts of how they searched the ship and collected the bones, and they would put 200 bones in a bag, and that was what constituted how many bones are in a human being. It's just incredible the amount of work they've gone to find these men, and I hope they find them all. I just hope that brings closure to many more people. It's amazing. It's just closure, and to even have pictures of, you know, the bones that are being sent to us, it's a little overwhelming, but it just shows the type of care that they've given to each one of those remains that they found. They're special, and I'm sure it takes a special person to do that type of work. It would be really hard. I would be too emotional to do that, you know, but it's taken great care how they've studied these remains and be able to put them back together to send to the families. It's incredible.
You know, I asked your cousin, but what about you? When you heard stories about Uncle Jack over the years, did you ever find yourself wondering, what if he'd lived? What if he wasn't one of those 406,000 Americans who gave their lives in World War II?
I think he was a handsome man and he'd have probably come home with some hula girl and had a nice life. I think, you know, it would have been great. I think my mother would have been excited to see him grow up, and Elaine's mother as well. And, you know, all his children and grandchildren would have been just special.
And what are you looking forward to as far as December 7th goes, on a day when the nation pauses to mark what happened at Pearl Harbor in 1941? Your family's going to have a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity as well.
I really think it's going to be the most beautiful ceremony that I've ever seen. It'll have the Avenue of the Flags and bagpipes and special songs and a eulogy. I just think we've had time to prepare this, and it's going to be an outstanding service, and I think it would be something that my grandparents and our mothers would be proud to know that we're honoring him this late date.
Now, if someone hadn't seen any of these photos or heard any of this story and just walked up to you and said, who is your Uncle Jack? How would you answer that question?
He was a man that loved his country. He, you know, went as a very young person and enlisted. And even though we don't know his motives, I believe that he loved his country very much.
Enough to make the ultimate sacrifice. That's Donna Morin talking about her Uncle Jack Cremaine, killed in the attack on Pearl Harbor in 1941 and now finally identified. He'll be laid to rest in Madera, California on the 77th anniversary of that day of infamy. You can explore photos relating to this story of Jack and his family at hometownheroesradio.com or the Hometown Heroes Facebook page. And we'll have more from this family plus another family going through a very similar experience when Hometown Heroes comes right back after this. Do you ever have those moments where you realize you've been settling for less than the best for far too long? Sometimes we just accept the status quo without looking around for better ways to do things. And I've got to tell you, when it comes to your money, I believe I found a better way with EECU. Take a look at myeecu.org and you'll see why. EECU is not a bank. It's a nonprofit credit union that's all about taking care of you, the member. That's one of the reasons EECU just keeps growing and growing. Close to 300,000 members now in 10 different California counties. Over 30,000 ATMs, free mobile banking. And what I really love is how EECU always goes above and beyond to serve the community. In 2013, the leadership and generosity of EECU helped establish Central Valley Honor Flight. More than 1,000 veterans now have gotten to see their memorials in Washington, D.C. for free. And that's just one example of the community involvement EECU takes oh so seriously. Pick up the phone and become a member today. 1-800-538-3328. That's 800-538-3328.